We're here. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that this service and our lives shall be in one accord to the reality of your presence, which presence has not been since the time of the Apostle Paul, and even beyond that has not been for an exodus, taking the people out of a church and taking the people out of this world and bringing those same people back into the millennium. And so we know that the King is here waiting for his coronation of us, and we believe that, Lord, that all these things are now under the seventh seal and progressing marvelously and wondrously, and no one will stop them, yet ominously and horribly for the world. So may we ever be in that knowledge, Lord, and may the knowledge, as has been promised us in Ephesians, affect us. Surely it will affect us. We look to you to help us, therefore. We commend ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the little envelopes, of course, you're well aware what they're for. You don't have to put anything in them. But once a month, we'll take them up, and I suppose as good as any is the first of every month. And if you want a receipt, if you do put anything in there, put your name on the inside in a slip of paper. And you're also are well aware by now, I hope, that this is something that you do of your own free will, according to 2 Corinthians. Not something you have to do, but you do what you like in the exact amount that you like, and then as you feel led of the Lord, and then no one else can ever say, hey, I need help, and I believe the Lord would have you to help me. No, it's you can always take it up with the deacons, and no matter what it is, it's some of you might even get phone calls from police associations and sheriff associations, and they're good causes. You could say, well, that'd be wonderful. I've given everything I can give. And we can take it up with the church. And if the church feels like they want to do something for the community, that's legitimate, because it hasn't got a thing to do with the tithe or other things. So what it is, you'll find is wisdom to, if you don't do anything, that's fine. That's part of the wisdom, too. In other words, it's a principle set in the church. I believe that the Lord would be interested in having us doing that. And then it would give the elder, the deacon, something to do in the sense of they exercise judgment in these things. And so they should be allowed to exercise that judgment. Now, we've been looking into the subject of love projecting, and we're going to continue that today and perhaps another time also. And we have four very basic thoughts that we will bring up before we go into the message itself. And one, number one, is that God is the Word. God is the Word. The Word is God, number one. We also know that God is love. That's number two. Number three, we know the Word corrects. Number four, we know that love corrects. So you have four basic things there. You'll notice which the two and the two go together. God is love. God is the Word corrects, and love corrects. All right? Now, with that, we understand that love is the doing of the Word of God. That is, by the Spirit of God. Love is the literal doing of the Word of God. And also, compassion is the doing of the Word of God. And that people are so mixed up on this subject, they can't tell love from hate. Now, that, of course, is a debated, but there's no debate, because it's in the Bible. John 15:24, if I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now let's get very honest here. The Church of Christ was one of Brother Branham's greatest enemies. They categorically denied the works of God and said they were of the devil, as did Pentecostals. Those people say they love God. Now you tell me who lied, they or God. Now make up your mind. Now some people don't like my rough preaching. Fine, you go home now. You're free to go. Because you're not going to love God, you're not going to love His Word, you're going to go to hell. And I'm not saying that because I want to send you to hell. I'm telling you the truth. Let's get this flat. Either this Bible is a lie or it's the truth. Right. Now, he categorically said those that hate it. the proof that he was who he was. Hated God. Now, the Church of Christ came to Brother Branham and they said, now, first of all, they'd offered $1,000 reward for anybody that could prove a miracle of healing. So Brother Branham had the affidavits. He knocked on the man's door and said, I've come to get the $1,000. Said, what $1,000? Well, he said, you said here, absolutely, if we could prove a miracle, scientifically prove a miracle that God had done in healing, I could get $1,000. Well, the guy began to crawfish. Well, he said, the money's not with me. Well, he said, you get it. Here's the affidavits. So he put him on the spot till he got his bunch in. Antichrist, I'm sorry, but that's the truth, Antichrist. And they said, well, we didn't mean that. What we're going to do is cut this little girl, then you heal her. And you say, Brother Bale, let's have love. I've got love!
Amen.
I'll lay down my life for it. If I have to. I'll stand with His word here. I believe with men of God that if we had a prayer line here 50 miles long and 50 miles of people died today, I'd pray for 50 more miles tomorrow.
Amen.
Because the word of God's the word of God. Now, people don't know love from hate. Now, I don't care what people think. I'm not interested in what you think and I think. What's that got to do with it? Let's get this flat. A revealed word has already been thought out. Now, I might not have been much a teacher in my day, but I was recommended very highly by everybody who ever interviewed me and came to my classes and examined what I did. And they said, you have a brilliant future in teaching. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't care 2 cents what those kids thought when I was teaching a precept. The 2 and 2 make 4. I don't care. If Johnny said 2 and 2 make 4.5, Johnny dropped dead. And don't smart off when you're being taught something. Now, you understand. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about classroom. Now, the Word of God is something which has already been settled in heaven. That God stands behind it. And when He says something, He knows more than any psychologist or any psychiatrist or any smart preacher. The trouble is people left the Word of Almighty God. Now, we showed you here that God is love, God is the Word. God, the Word corrects, love corrects. Now, we find out here that compassion is doing the will of God. Brother Branham said, so love is doing the Word of God. Love is also doing something that you wouldn't do except you do it for God. And the only reason you do it for God is you know it's in here, or you couldn't be doing it for God, for the Word of God is the will of God. And you know you've got an impulsion or almost a compulsion to do it. People say, if you could look at me as an example, this is a very horrible example. But starting out when I was just a kid, I got saved at age 18. And pretty soon I knew that I knew it within me that there was something there saying, hey boy, you better preach. And I said, phooey. And I fought it and I fought it and I fought it. One day God brought me around to a place where I knew the props were knocked out. Everything was gone. It was preach or perish. I said, well, this is horrible. And I was angry. I was upset. I really was. In my anger and my upset, I told God I would go preaching. And the strangest thing happened. Peace flooded my soul while I was still in the midst of a hurricane. I have never been outside the hurricane, but I got peace in my soul because I know what I'm supposed to do. You say, well, now just a minute. You're trying to tell me that's love? Yep, that's love. I'm sorry about you. Oh, you thought he had to go gushing and running around like a whirling dervish. I'm calling him, calling him, calling him. Happy, happy, happy. I got news for you. He's a chicken in an eagle house. He'll soon get pecked to death. Brother Branham categorically said it is true that those who don't want to preach are the ones that are made to preach, the ones that are called. You think, well, hey, Valio, why don't you quit preaching? Because I've been called. I'm 69. I could retire. If I've got too much energy. All right, as we get to this subject for the third time, we wish as usual to show that love cannot. Now listen, that love cannot nor ever will take precedence over or ever will take from or add to the divinely word God of the hour. That's love. Because it must be in harmony. Love can never take precedence over the word, and love will never add to the word nor take from it if it is love. So therefore it must be in complete harmony and unity. They will be if they're one. Love must always take its guidance from what the Word says. Word and love will be one because they are of one source. Can a fountain at the same source give forth bitter or impure and pure water? The answer is no. How could love be different from the Word of God if God is love and He is Word? Now you must also know this for sure. The Word apart from love can be the club of a hypocrite. Now there's, you might think you got me. But just hold on. Love apart from the Word can be a seducer and defiler. You can have your choice. I can use the Word as a club and be an absolute hypocrite. I can take what Brother Branham said and use it on you as a club and put you in bondage, and I see it done all around the country. Or I can take what Brother Branham said and use it for seduction and do the same thing. You tell me, what's the difference between a woman raped and a woman seduced? It's both illicit and illegal. It's wrong. Okay. It boils down to this. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit and springs from a renewed nature. All right? But this renewed nature can only handle the Word properly. For it alone can receive a true revelation. We're talking about down in the soul where there's a place for the Word. Unless the Holy Spirit is down in that particular place bringing union back with God to the sheep that's gone astray, you'll never understand and produce love. And you'll never understand and handle the Word. So therefore only the truly born again have anything to do with God, have anything to do with the Word, have anything to do with love, have anything to do with anything as pertaining to God, no matter how you want to describe it and how you want to fulfill it. Let's understand that. For the prophet correctly said, one word off of the Word of God is the kingdom of Satan. And it's exactly true, because that's just the one word off where Eve placed us, by disbelieving that one word. Love and the Word are a holy union. And let no man put us under. Now let's get into some scripture. First of all, Job 5:17, happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Number one, it says the Lord corrects. And He is the Word. Proverbs 3:12. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Now that's right. Happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. And God is love. God is the Word. So therefore He deals in correction. Now let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and begin to see and understand this. And I hope I don't keep you all day. If you get too bored and tired, you're dismissed. Rest, just sit around here, because I preach as though I didn't have any time left except your time. And I'm going to use it. So the government gets in your pocket for money for tax, I'm going to get into your brain for your time. If you don't, goodbye, Charlie. No problem. No problem at all. I'm sorry, but I've got lots of material to cover. And I'm not mad to anybody. 2 Timothy, and I'm not anything with anybody. I'm a neutral. All right, 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul is talking about himself, and he said, what, did the Word of God come out of you, or did it come unto you? He said, if any man thinks himself a prophet or spiritual, acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. He said, I've got the Word. I can prove I've got the Word. There's nobody but me that's got the Word in relation to you, so therefore you know who taught you. So this man had the revealed word of the hour. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, polished off, finished, must come to the definitive place of a true child of God, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now it tells you that? Now you can't get away. That's the Bible. There is no doubt that as the prophet taught, the Word corrects the error. The Word is a great corrector of all error. Okay, let's go to Psalm. We go to Psalm 19 to begin with 7 and 8. And in there we will notice The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, that's very good. We just run over here to 1 Peter a little bit and see something else now that Paul said. Now, remember, I'm reading what Paul said. I'm going to the Bible to show it to you. Here's something else Paul said in there about this word that came down that brings you salvation. 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible spora, but of incorruptible, not of corruptible seed like a plant that can be corrupted, but of incorruptible by the word of God which lives and abides forever. So there's your rebirth. Now back to Psalm 119 and to the only the ninth verse at this particular time. Now that's a long, long psalm. All right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Now Paul said, you know the scripture, Timothy, what I've taught you. And he said, I'm telling you now by the same voice of authority from the same scripture you know that it does this. And he told him all scripture by inspiration of God is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine, and so on, to bring you to the place where you ought to be, which will show you very shortly in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now then, let us realize that when we talk only of error, that needs correction. That's the error that needs correction in our lives. We are not saying that if one has the revealed word and knows the ways of God, he still cannot walk apart from sin. Now it is true, there is no perfection this side of the resurrection. We know that. We know also that we err in our faith and in many ways. But there is nobody going to tell me or tell you that the word of God is merely to correct so that error after error can go on and correction after correction goes on. It doesn't say that. There is a place where the word of God will keep you so there are no errors. Now let us understand that. So by no means is it true that we have to look only and say, well, the word of God does one thing, it corrects. The word of God goes beyond that. The revealed word is the only way that can keep us pure from sin, defilement, and those things that come upon us. Now we go to Psalm 119, 1 again. 1, 3, and 5 to begin with. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Now it tells you right there, there is no defilement when man walks in the way of the Lord. Number 3, they also do no iniquity who walk in his way. Now those words defile, law, commandment, testimony, word, precepts, statutes, judgments, all mean the same thing. It's the word of God. The 5th verse, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And the 7th verse, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. How can a man possibly ever praise God in spirit and in truth unless he has the revealed word of God in his possession? There is no way. The 31st verse, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. How can a man sticking to the word of God ever reap anything but the word of God? See, that's the beauty of it. Not just to correct, but to keep us from the place of needing correction. Not that we will ever be, this side of the resurrection, in a place where we won't need something to haul us up a little short. Because there's no perfection, as I say, this side of the resurrection. But there certainly is a place where we can walk and know we are walking with God and walking in the truth. Amen. Walking in the faith, which is of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, which I said I was going to quote from to show you the truth. The 4th chapter. And verses 17 to 24. Then we'll go back to the rest. Wherefore I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Now here's what we are with this word. You walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Now this shows that the word of God has to go past the place where you know what it says just and only according to your own thinking. Because you can have a very vain mind. They were doing that in the days of the Apostle Paul. And Paul had to bring them up short. Now see, that's what I brought this subject up with on love. They don't even know what love is. Only we love God. Send out missionaries. Talk about salvation. And then when God manifests himself, turn on God and hate it. Right. Now come on, there's something wrong. Right.
A man professing he loves his wife can't stop kissing her day and night, can't stop showering gems and gifts upon her, but can't wait to hook up with the first prostitute. Come on, there's something wrong. The guy's a jackass. He's a liar. Well, that may sound tough, but I'm sorry. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty thing. Let's get either the word of God's true or it's not true.
Amen.
Come on. We're just not going to budge from what this says here. Now, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, when they're so blind they can't tell God in right from wrong, then what are they talking about love? What are they talking about rebirth? Now, look, there's got to be something somehow to set a people right. Now, this is a warning. Paul tells them right here. Now, he said, you people aren't that way. He said, you used to be that way. Now, if you used to be this way and aren't that way, what happened? What's going on? Well, it's very, very simple. Somebody got born again. The revelation of God's word comes through. The man knows now where he stands. Now it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now what's he talking about? It's the thing I talked about the other day and I hate to harp on. You think I'm some kind of a fool. All right, I'm some kind of a fool. But I said it time and time again, adultery is absolutely, and fornication is the sign of idolatry. Now men have gone so far, women don't satisfy them. And women have gone so far that men don't satisfy them. And now men can't satisfy men, and women, so what's the next thing they've gone to? Murder! There's no thrills left anymore! I'm reading the scripture, brother, sister. They're past feeling. And Pentecostal people tell me, well, I feel this. And Methodist, I feel that. And when I feel this, I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you feel. You're an hour of this past feeling. Therefore, the baptism and revelation doesn't have a thing to do with feelings. What are you trying to tell me? Don't think Almighty God doesn't have a bride. That bride goes through the same thing every woman goes through. She's a true bride of a man. First of all, there is the embrace, which positively justification. There is the kiss, which is the arousal and the sealing, in the sense of the word, which is sanctification. And there is literal physical union, which is the born-again baptism. Now, let me tell you, the church is beyond feeling. They're so completely messed up. When the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, there's nothing left anymore that's holy and sacred. And so therefore, God cannot deal in feelings. God's got to deal in something which stands right there and says, this is it, and proves that that is that, or forget it. But they're still wanting to shout and jump and scream and holler and pull everything in the book. Now, they've gone beyond feelings. Over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Uncleanness with greediness. 1,054,000. If the churches believed for 1 minute that they stood in doubt, they'd put a sign on the door, enter at your own risk. We might not be the door to heaven and the gate to eternal bliss. But you watch them put the signs up. Hallelujah, we got it all. Oh, yes. Even the Roman Catholic Pope, and God knows they got a series of what's supposed to be apostolic succession behind them of filth, filth, filth. What makes them think that filth doesn't breed more filth? And adapt itself to the occasion. The Protestants are just the same, because the Protestants are the one that lifted up the Catholics. They were down there and completely shot. The church was gone when Protestant money from America took it over. Let's get the record straight. I got nothing against the Catholics, half much against the Protestants. Let me tell you one thing. It's a pretty rotten thing for a dog to bite me, but it's a rottener thing for a man to sick 'em on me. Now, the Catholic Church may supply the bite, but the Protestants put the sick 'em. That's right. Get your scripture lined up. America builds the image to the beast. Come on. Get any flat-headed ideas in your head? Let's get the points and the flats off. Let's get them rounded for Jesus. It says, you have not so learned of Christ, if so be you heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Who taught these people? Paul did. He said, when you heard me, you heard Jesus. That went over like a lead balloon. People still don't believe God's in the prophets because they don't believe even God would send a prophet. And you tell me what he's going to send. Oh, we're going to send preachers, fap, that you put off concerning the form of behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Notice deceitful pleasures. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you put on the new man, which after God is created and raised in holiness. And he tells you right here, unless that is there, the new mind, the renewed spirit, the born again experience, you're a part of this rotten world system that's got to be burnt. When people get past human feelings. Oh, listen, you read it in Timothy, read it time after time. No natural affection, nothing left. What's left but burning? You tell me you want to keep it? If you've got an ounce of grace and a half an ounce of brains, you'll say, God, if I'm in that shape, burn me with it.
Amen.
See, we're not pulling little deals anymore. Hands in the cookie jars. We're not pulling any little deals now. A little crookedness, a little lie, a little something. This is the end of it. See? Not that the little lies and little cookie jars didn't build up to it. But I'm talking about an end time. All right. Let's make another statement of fact concerning word and love. Outside what the word says, one would not even know what love really or actually is, and that extends even to its possession as to whether we have it or must yet receive it, let alone its programming and manifestation. Now that's how much people know about love. They don't know if they got it. That's right. They don't know what it actually really is. Now, they think they do. Then how do you program it? What do you do with it? Oh, I know we've heard all the stories. All love covers a multitude of sin. That does it. All right, fine. It covers a multitude of sin, then I'll preach to sinners and do what you want. And I'll say, I love you people, God loves you, and therefore do what you want, hallelujah. And the more you sin, the more there'll be love. Come on, don't be an idiot. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Something's wrong somewhere. Somebody hasn't got his priorities. Somebody doesn't know the Bible. A thought crossed my mind there. I won't talk about it because I've got to get more notes on it. I want to just begin putting where grace and love are. What motivates what? I got news for you. As far as I recall scriptures, grace that motivates love. We'll find out. We'll check it out in the Bible. Outside of what the word says, one would not even know what love really is or actually is. And that extends even to its possession as to whether we have it or yet to receive it. Or is it sporadic? Does it come and does it go? Do I reach and get it? Or do I have it, fail to use it? Or could I have it and can use it? What is going on? As the word requires receiving by revelation, and as the word requires it to be received by revelation, so does love need its revelation or the truth of it in order to be used. And since this is so, love can't work outside the dictates of the word. Therefore, anybody that talks about love and it doesn't line with the word, he does not have love. It is a hypocritical love. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. It's a wrong love. It isn't love at all. All right. We accept perfectly this understanding. That there are two tremendously corrective forces that are in the bride, word and love. Word is the precept or the prescription. Love is the application or administering of the prescription. And remember, prescription means pre-written. The Latin pre, before, and scribe, order, write. And the administrating of the prescription is according to written instructions of how the prescription must be carried out. And remember, prescription is not diagnosis. It is prognosis.
So therefore the Word of God is not diagnostic in its basic elements, though they are there. It is prognostic. And in the prognosis, there are written instructions that tell you how it is used. Now you have love, you have Word, you have God. Right? Not until that time. A perfect example of this is the rebirth, which we set forth in three scriptures. We could start first of all by saying, there is none righteous, no, not one. That is true. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That is true. But that would be the diagnosis as to the actual condition. But we want a prognosis. And the prognosis is absolutely, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we are going to get a little understanding of this. We want to know the carrying out and the so forth, what we're into. So we come along a little further. In Galatians 3:14, it tells you concerning the 13th, first of all, the one that died. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now you see, we're getting into the law cursed us. That's a diagnosis. Now we're getting into the prognosis. Being made a curse for us is written, cursed everyone who hangs on a tree. Notice that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Notice that we might receive the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that tells you how it's going to go into effect. You got to be born again. Now let's go to 1 Peter, the first chapter, 23 to 25. Being born again, not the corruptible seed, but of incorrupt by the word of God, lives and abide forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So therefore we have a perfect example here. God is love. God is the word. Here is the word. How does love come in? And remember, Peter over here tells you, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth up through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See you love one another. He's telling you that the born again have the privilege. Here it's laid out to you, showing how God sets forth in His Word exactly how everything is done step by step. And so therefore, if there's a commandment to love, which we'll go into, then there has got to be a step-by-step revelation of God of what that amounts to. You see, you've got to keep the Bible within the framework of the Bible. When Brother Branham made the statement which Larkin and the rest made, you cannot take a word out of context. He might have put that in Revelation chapter 22. Don't add or don't take or don't take out of context. Now, let's begin to understand what happened when you fool with that word. You're fooling with life. Now, what are scientists doing today? We're working with the DNA and the RNA. They can take a human cell or an animal cell and take it with a vegetable cell. What are they going to get? All hell's going to break loose, I can tell you that. Why? Because it's just a sign of the times. What people have done with the Word. They've injected human philosophies. They put it in a centrifuge. They put it in a mix master. They've done everything with it. They've added. They've subtracted. They've taken heresies and cultism, everything with it. Woman says she's supposed to believe this message out there in Tucson. Why, she said, you people got the rapture all wrong. She said, the rapture is not a catching away of people. It's when you're building yourself up into higher places. Fap. That's edification. The old girl's so messed up it's pitiful. But she's a cultist. I don't say that to discredit her. I'm just the truth. That's all. No harm meant to be done at all. Now, and again, we must never, and I repeat never, we must never forget or even relegate to the back of our minds for one moment the prospect of this hour, which is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, where the bride is one with the Word and ordained to do nothing apart from the Word by the Spirit's bidding, so she'll be walking in love toward all men. We are promised a glorious hour. And we just never forget it, that this is that hour there'll be a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's prophetic utterance that Brother Branham brought us in writing. She'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that Lamb will be amongst her, Brother Branham said, doing the works He did when He was here on earth.
And where the bride is, one with the Word. And ordained to do nothing apart from the Word, except by the Spirit's bidding. So she's one with the Word, the Spirit, one with God, walking in love toward all men. Now that's exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now you know something? Some of you are filled right to the brim right now, and I'm losing you. You're thinking you're going wrong direction. You say, Brother Bill, how do you know? I'm not stupid, and I'm not up here kidding myself either. I want your attention right back. So we're not fooling. See, you don't believe what I'm saying. You really don't believe it. You don't believe there's going to be that kind of a church. You simply can't believe the blood of Jesus Christ because you're looking at yourself. Now, I'm not criticizing you. It's common with all of us. We talk about believing a word. How much do we really believe a word? See, that's the thing. See, you can't go by feelings, brother, sister. No. They said, John said, what we saw, heard, and handled has repeated in this hour. You're not dealing with the wheel of fortune anymore. You're not dealing with something that's going to be. That's why my constant haranguing and fight with my brethren around the country, where I'm misunderstood. They think we're standing still or going back or looking ahead. Don't you understand that's not so? He's not so. Listen, go to Ephesians. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you just got to stop at times. Now listen, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. There's none left out. There's none that doesn't have a position, none that's not gifted. I don't care who you are, what you're doing. There's no exalted deacons or elders or pastors or anything else here. There's every single one on a common ground. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? He descended first to Lord parts of the earth. That's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that went right down there physically. He that descended is the same also ascended up far above heaven, he might fill all things. It's the same one that came back in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he's right here today, proving his presence by what he did. Now, watch, it doesn't say one thing about him baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. It talks about ministries. Now, you couldn't have ministry unless you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, therefore, the baptizing with the Holy Ghost is already done. Now, the baptizer himself is taking over in ministries. I say, just a minute. Don't just a minute me. If I had my notes exactly where I might should have them, my memory lined up, I could give you a quote of a prophet, a vindicated prophet, William Branham, on that one. Except I can tell you this, when he said rivers of water, he said, remember, he said, there is one source and it goes into rivers, which is a fivefold ministry, and then trickles on down. He said, what did it come from? It came to a prophet, first of all. Then to a ministry. Then everyone's got a ministry. Nobody's left out. You just fill your place. So years ago, it was always haranguing, you know, he said, the shepherd doesn't have the lambs. He said, the sheep have the lambs. Go out and bring them to Christ, which is very true. We don't use that expression around here anymore, which is all right. I'm nothing against it. See, now he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, a whole fivefold. Yet some try to tell you some are missing. But notice they never count themselves out.
That's right.
Brilliant. Like Satan, he counted himself in. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, what? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, under the knowledge of the Son of God. And that means all through the ages it wasn't there. Just part of it. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, stature of perfect man, that we henceforth be no more children. Well, if you can't be children, then you've got to be adults. And the child is tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You say, well, just a minute now. Just a minute, you. What's he talking about? Fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry. Phony is a $3 bill. And that's a mild expression, trying to take you over. You stick around here at your own risk. I'll take you over. I'll just take your heads off. And you can carry him home in a basket. He's my guest. But holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It hasn't got that far yet. As though we could prove it, knew it, it could be here now, but it's hidden to us. Because only the Lord knows them, but Jesus. But there comes a time when it's all over. The bride's finished. She's perfect. How's she perfect? By ministry. What ministry? Word. Now watch. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the bringing and building up of itself into love. Now it tells you right there, love and the Word is one. God and the Word is one. God is love. And we're coming to the place in this hour where there's going to be a bride that's spotless. She's already been declared the spotless virgin bride of Jesus Christ. But she's been commanded to lie in the sun until the full effect of the Word comes into her, and then she'll know love as she's never known it before, the true love, because this is the only way you can know love, whether you got it, and if you do got it, how you can use it. Because it's got to be according to prescription. All right. That we are definitely scriptural in our understanding how Word and love are one, to be truly effective, is seen in the other scripture. So let's just look at it. What I'm trying to say here is this. I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods from a few scripture. I'm trying to show you how they're one from all the scripture. And I'm not going to do that today. You know that. Why would take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses? Come on. Let's go to John 15. Beginning, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Okay, there we got it. A vine, symbolic, someone taking care of the whole thing. Every vine in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Already tells you right there, there's going to be a pseudo-Christianity. He's going to cut it up. It goes in the garbage. Then there's going to be a real Christianity that he works on. Now notice, he doesn't prune those other branches to bring forth fruit. He lops them off to burn them. Now he wants the fruit. He wants this thing brought up to where it may be, should be. Now ye are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. Now he said you're clean through the Word. So this is a clean branch. This is not a lemon branch put into an orange tree. This is an orange branch in an orange tree. So to speak. Abide in me and I in you. Now how's that done? By the rebirth. You got him by the rebirth. That's in the bride, in the church. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. What's he telling you? He's not telling you get in, get out, get in, get out. He's telling you flat there is no way to get with this unless you're born again. Amen. So therefore only the bride knows a love. What love really is. What grace really is. The rest are in some kind of a pseudo shake-up. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That's exactly right. It's going to bring us all to the place where he is the head and it's nothing but true perfect vine in a resurrection. Now, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Well, if you're not in him, what happens? You're not going to make it in the kingdom. And this is not in and out, in and out, in and out. Come on, brother, sister. Don't you realize that Jesus has to suit the case what he's talking about and therefore use the simile or the or the parable or the allegory? In one place, he goes from a bramble to a... No, he goes from a wolf and a sheep to a bramble and a fig. Well, come on, I never saw a bramble turn into an animal. They're allegories. Extended parables. Now he's using a parable here. And yet it's the truth. Now, watch. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, men gather him, cast him into fire, and they are burned. Now what's he talking about? That's the seventh verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask him and it shall be done to you. Now it tells you, he's telling you about a little about the way it works. Now he's telling you, listen, as long as that word is true word, that revealed word of the hour, the people will be born again. They're part of it. And when it's not that true word, they cannot be born of it. So therefore, creeds and dogmas come in. You say, well, I don't understand. Well, understand this. Peter said, not being born again of corruptible spora, but of the incorruptible spora, the word of God. You can corrupt the word of God. Not that it will corrupt it in the final analysis. Look, let's face it. H2O, pure H2O, is nothing but a hydrogen and oxygen. Two parts of one, one part of the other. But I can drip some iodine into it. Now, that never changes the truth of H2O. But something's been added. The original H2O is still H2O. Now, that's what's happening here. You've got some corruption thrown in here. See? Now, when people get a hold of it, like under Luther. Luther was a great man, tremendous man. Now, real true Lutherans, born again, just as sure as you and I are born again. But after Luther died, what happened? All the people that he could throw to one side and keep in balance rose up and had a heyday. Where did they go? They died, like the scripture said. Wesley's the same. Pentecost the same. And if we went on, we'd be the same. But we're going to get out of here. All right. How far do I want to read? Oh, tremendous amount of scripture. Now, he said here, verse 9, as the Father had loved me, and so I loved you, continue you in my love. All right, now he starts out here, abiding in a vine. Now he says, abide in my love. So if you're in him, you're in love. Now watch. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, I know right now you're getting scared. Everybody gets scared because nobody wants to read the word and find out what it's all about. That's where the devil got you trapped. And so right away it says here, if you abide in my commandments. See? If you abide in my, you say, well, now that means do this, do this, do this, don't do that, do that. This, 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 no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Come, 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 go, go, go. Ah, oh, shut up. That's exactly where your minds are, I can tell. You say, how do you know? Because my mind used to go that way too. I'm going to read you something here. I wrote this before I knew what I was even talking about, which is hardly unusual with a guy like me. I might not even be able to find it. Yeah, there are two tremendously corrective forces in the bride, love and the word. Word is the precept or the prescription. Do you know this word command here means authoritative prescription? I didn't know. Now, you people, stranger, you watch me up here. You'll notice I have my big concordance there. It's right in there. I didn't know till sitting there looking over my notes. I said, I got to find what that word means because it bugs me. Because everybody's going to think it means do something, do something, do something. When I want to find anybody in this church that did something about your own conception and birth. If you'd have had something to do with it, you'd have done it different. When I was a little kid, I always wanted to be born in somebody else's family, but too late because they had money and I didn't. How nice they'd be to me, too, all the things they could give me. They'd have given me a hard time if they'd have given me force all over. All right, authoritative prescription. In other words, it is no longer the diagnosis, it's a prognosis. If you keep my divine prognosis, my remedy, faith in my cure, you'll abide in my love, even as I have my Father's commandments. I have what it took to bring the human race back, and therefore I abide in his love. These things are spoken that you might my joy remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is my divine prognosis. This is my authoritative prescription. See, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, you notice something here. That this man is doing what all doctors do in conjunction with the druggist. They're absolutely giving you, and remember, the druggist dispensing is the Holy Spirit. The authoritative Word of God is in us by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to bring something to pass. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Certainly. Why? Because that lies in the prescription. The love of God is what did it. Which is in grace. Which is in the blood. Which is in the Holy Spirit. Which is in the judgment that says there's no judgment against this person. That lies in there. That's already in there. Now he said, when you've got that, you've got what it takes to do or to manifest, to really know supernaturally by revelation what you have, and that is going to be in this bride. Now, did you love one as I've loved you? Greater love hath no man than this, the man lay down his life for his friends. Now notice, he's talking about love and commandment. God's prescription was death. The diagnosis was sin. The prescription was a life being shed. That life coming back. See? What was in that prescription? Divine love. Now then, what have we got? We got the complete prescription, which is in us, because without it, there wouldn't be anybody born again. So, all right. Notice now. Henceforth, I call you not servants. The servant doesn't know what his Lord does. Now you're privy to doing, to knowing what God's doing. Now you know what's going on in this hour. And a man says he doesn't know what's going on now. There's something wrong with him because the Holy Ghost is given so that you do know what is going on. Right. Now you don't have to take the place of a general, but you can get something from the general. Now, he said, now listen here. All things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you should bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And if the world, now listen, that's far enough for that point, particular point right there. All right. With this, we want to go to 1 John 4. And I hope we can cover some of these things rapidly here. Because we just simply want to get the picture more than a stronger delineation. 1 John the 4th chapter and 11 and 16 verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now that's true in the overall general picture. That's true. He loved the world. Okay? And it's true in the general picture of us. Alright, 16 verse. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's right. You're synonymous. They're the same thing. All right? Now, we go to 19 and 21st verses. We love him because he first loved us. Now, there you are. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him. That's a divine prescription. This is exactly according to what the diagnosis brought forth. This is the divine prescription. And remember, we are not enjoined by sorcerers that are druggists that give us a wrong remedy. We have the right remedy. And remember, God himself has to apply the medicine. And if the medicine is the revealed word, then the benefits of the revealed word are there. See? As you get into your love. He who loves God loves his brother also. Now, very good. Now, let's keep reading. 1 John 5, 1 and 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now there, that's good. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that begotten him. That tells you that's how this works. If you're born of God, you're born of the Word, here it is, that's love. Love is going to manifest. It's going to work through you. But we know, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his divine prescription. When you've got it. In other words, you've got exactly the antidote. You've got what it takes. Here it is. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that all of those things in the stature of a perfect man were bought by the blood of man pumped out of him, so to speak, the blood of Christ pumped into him, which is life, and therefore he will now have those things birthed into him, and they will be there. Now, come on. But if they're not there, they ain't there. Now, you can't get me to draw a beautiful picture. It's not in me. No, wait. Now, let's keep reading. For this is the love of God, that we keep His authoritative prescription. And His authoritative prescriptions are not grievous. In other words, they don't gall you to do them. They don't upset you. They're not hard to do. They're natural with you. They're a part of you. Person writes a beautiful, puts a beautiful figure on the board up here with the quick little marks. Say, fine. Don't ask me to do it. No way. Now, you can't ask anybody here to manifest love unless you're in love. There's no way. And then when you do manifest it, we'll find out what happens. If you get with the wrong crowd. We just got to take the whole Word of God. Now, watch and do not move from the truth. From the truth we're saying. Now let's go back to 1 John 4:7 again. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now isn't that great? So they say, I love the Lord. Well, I couldn't reprimand my children because, you see, I love the Lord so much. Oh, I couldn't tell those nice people in church those things because, you see, I just love the Lord, and therefore I love them because, you see, if you love the Lord, then you love them. Now, if you love them in a wrong way, you love God in a wrong way. There's something all screwed up. You haven't got the love of God at all. Fellow's supposed to preach this message. She's got a brother, one that's preacher. I guess they're pretty well the same. And one day a fellow said to him, he said, why don't you tell those women, he said, to quit wearing those slacks? Oh, he said, I couldn't tell those lovely ladies that and hurt your feelings. What kind of love's he got? Well, he got the love of a snake. That's right, it's a seducer. Ain't nothing there. Come on. Look, we're not here to play little foolish games anymore. All right? That's 1 John 4:7. Now let's read again 1 John 5:2-3. But this we know, by this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His and keep His divine prescription. Now remember, what the prescription is, the authoritative word of how to administer it. What you're doing with it. Now you know that's the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because unless you have the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you don't know what to do with the word that you got. There's no way you can understand or believe it. And I'm not getting do stuff. Now, I'm talking about the essential aura or the atmosphere or the spirit under which we're working. Don't get all mixed up with works now. Please don't do that. I don't want you mixed up with works. Works will come later. We'll talk about works later. Just get the atmosphere. The third verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep His divine prescription. His authoritative prescription. Don't alter the word. That's the step. That's where you start. If you leave that, you're shut. Now someone says, but love will cover the multitude of sins. Don't you understand that love sent the Son that sent the blood to cover the sins, my brother, my sister? Get with the Word. Don't get any chopped up, chop suey idea from the Orient and this stuff here. And His commandments. The divine prescription isn't grievous. It won't put a burden on you. Now, let's go to John 15:3-4. I want to work this back and forth for you. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now he said, every single thing that you once thought and knew is gone because I've given you the truth. Do you know when with this message of William Branham of the end time, the bride has a pure mind for the first time since the time of Jesus with his apostles and the time of Paul.
Amen.
All right. You're clean through the word I've spoken to you. Now, with that he says, abide in me and I in you. On what grounds? Through the word. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the Word. Remember, there is no fruit, no love, no nothing outside of that Word. No more can you do anything except you're one with the Word. Let's get that understood. See, now let's go a little further. Now,
We're getting God's own word on this subject here, so let's keep reading. John 15. I guess I turned away too quick. Got to go back to John 15. And we go to 9 and 10. And here's what it says. As the Father had loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now he's telling you this. As the Father loved me, I've loved you. In other words, I've got no fear. Everything that he's loved me, I'm giving you. There is no fear. So don't you worry, you just continue in it. Now love casts out fear. How much love has the church got when it comes to true love? They have little or nothing. Yet they got it all. And you know what the trouble is? Wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. It just won't work. See, now we'll get to some of these things, and some of it would cut, I suppose, in certain areas. But we haven't got to it yet. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep my word just the way I gave it. If you can stand still and just see my word exactly the way it is and believe it, something is going to start happening to you. In other words, the abiding is going to be there. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Now what did he do? He stood right there with that word, getting out of the way, as it were, standing there ready for the purpose of God, knowing no harm, nothing grievous. No, it was going to pay off. Stood right there, and it came to pass. All right? We're talking about God's own word in this subject. And this is it. To receive it is basic, and there are no questions. It is a forthright statement. All right. Let's go now to see the precepts in the scripture that we're talking about. It all has to be one word. It's got to be without any interruption or detours. Okay, John 15, 17 to 25. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's in the divine prescription of the word of Almighty God. It's in that, the prognosis, that which is going to take care of everything. You've already got it. It's in there. It's just simply waiting for you to go ahead to admit to it, to acknowledge it, to be a part of it. And of course, there's going to be something come out of it, which what you'll be doing, it'll be doing through you, in you, with you, and you'll see the fruit of God. Now watch. If the world hates you, now he's talking about two things here. Love and hate. It hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now what was the separation? The word. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In other words, you listen and believe, they'll listen and believe. But he said, they're after me to get me, they'll be after you to get you. Now he's basing it upon one thing. Word is God. God is love. God is word. The divine prescription. The authoritative prescription. Now, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Now they're going to take his name and they're going to say we're Christians. We believe in Jesus the Christ. We understand the cross. We've got all these things down pat. You watch what happens. Because they know not him that sent me. Now they say they do, but they don't. Now if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. You say, what was that? He simply preached a sermon. It's all over. That's how powerful the word of God is. One sermon, it's all over. It's all it takes. It takes the word. Now, he that hateth me hates my Father also. Now, how do you hate? Where does the hate come from? If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled written in the law. They hated me without a cause. All right, you're looking at it. You're looking at and understanding the reaction that comes to the word is the predecessor of every other single action. If they hate this word, they've got to hate us. Right. And they'll hate God. I don't care what they say and how they try to cover it up and what their excuses are. There's no way you can get around it. But if you love this word, you will love God. That's right.
And at the same time, you will love your brothers and sisters. Now, it doesn't say one thing about loving those that hate you, though we'll get to that later. It isn't that you hate them, but they return hatred, but there's something different about you. And that means simply this, that you will never go their way even though they kill you, and they'll kill you for it. Because why? Your love with God determines your love with everybody else. And your love with God is your love of the Word, which is the sole reason why people are going to be on you. Because if you say, all right, I'm a good down-to-the-earth tithe-paying Mormon, there's no trouble having your wives out there, West, and even here now, because they don't even give a rip. Yet it's 100% illegal, and it's against the Word of Almighty God. Now you watch what happens. Why is the law the way it is? Why is the church the way? Everything is because there's a perversion going on. You get away the perversion of God's Word, you're going to get right back to the Garden of Eden. So that's why we're so careful to preach how we preach here. Now let's go to John 17, 13-17. And I'm going to try to link this up for the best again. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Now remember, his joy was what God was pouring into him. Now the same thing is going to be here. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now why was he not of the world? Because his word was different. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you don't want to be a part of the world, you better get with the word, and you're out of it right now. You're shucked off, you're finished. See? That's why the shuck pulls away from the grain at the end time. They cannot say, I and my Father are one, when the bride categorically says, I and my Father are one, because we have one Word. We have Him, we have, as the Word and the love, we have the whole thing. And people say, well, there you are. They'll pull away. Okay, let's go to 1 John 4, 5, and 6. Going back and forth. I'm trying to get you to see the importance of this Word. That you do not get off this word, because if you get off this word, you do not have love. I don't care what you try. Now listen, they are of the world. 1 John 4, 5, 6. Therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Now come on. We are of God. That's what John said. He that knoweth God hears me, because that's what he's saying. He that is not of God does not hear me. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He said, I'll tell you if you're born again or not. When God sends a messenger, even as we have handled the word of life and know the hour, you come against us, it shows you're not of God.
That's right.
I'm not talking about someone coming against Lee Vail, I'm talking about coming against William Branham, prophet of God vindicated. Not against this church, that's nothing. Not against you and me, let them come. We got it coming to us. But you come against this word, there's something wrong somewhere.
Amen.
You see, that's what we're trying to get across to you. Now watch. Now that being the case, where is love? Come on, I don't care what anybody says. You got a spirit on you to bring forth a seduction or a rape. And the rape will end in murder. Yeah. You know how it is the Catholics came over to America, that South America, and they tortured the natives until they said, I believe? They did the same thing to the Protestants back there in Europe. They tortured them until they acquiesced. Alright? And they said, hey, you know why? Because Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, raging against God. So when God can strike down somebody that's raging against him to make a convert, then we as a Catholic Church can strike down anybody that rages against us to make converts. Now they make a convert. They say, now you're happy, everything's fine. All right, what does the world say? I'm going to tell you what. Once again, you may condemn me because you think my thoughts are filthy sex thoughts. But you know what they said already about a woman being raped? They said if she could only relax. it wouldn't be too bad, because no matter she is raped, she's bound to have a good sensation. I would challenge anybody living to let me hear a woman raped say she had one sort of a good feeling. There's your stinking mess the world's in the church. Yeah. Well, you wonder where you're at today? Like John said, the whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one. A little tiny bride of a few hundred. The only one that can tell the difference between sin and sin. Filth and filth. Yeah. There's your stinking rotten preachers, your rotten organizations. Perverts from the pit of hell. Here's how you got love. Whether you got God, what about the word of the hour? You say, what about the word of the hour? It's always the word of the hour. Seven church ages, don't try to kid me. Seven messengers, seven words. Let's go to 1 John 3, 9 and 10. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Can the word ever bring forth sin? Never. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now he puts the doing of righteousness right along with love. Because whatsoever is not of love is unrighteous. And whatever is unrighteous is not love. And the unrighteous act of Cain was to pretend he was doing the will of God because he could read the Bible and perform a sacrifice when God said, no way, take the blood, not the first fruit. So where's your love? Though I give my body to be burned, I still don't have love. Give everything I got. It doesn't say it's love. Now if you give your body to be burned, because of the word. He said they'll kill you because of the word. Ah, that's love. And listen, everybody gets scared of these things. Back in those days when the martyr spirit was on the people, they lined up, as it were, to get martyred.
Amen.
There's a little bit left in this hour. If the Antichrist was poured into one beast, Brindle, I believe everything of the four beasts is poured into us in the end time. If we have to get martyred, we will. I don't relish the thoughts. I don't even think of these things. Why should I? All I know is they're there. God's going to see me through. If I'm bright, if I'm not, I'm going to see myself through to the wrong source. You must not kid yourself, brother, sister. We got no time to fool. All right. Now, remember what we said over here. These that are born, they are born of the uncorrupted seed of God, the sperm. Now, let's go to 1 John 3:11-15 with this. Keep reading. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. What was the evil work of Cain? Sacrificing the first fruit instead of the lamb. Yeah. You understand what he did? He was taking to himself personally for his redemption. What would not redeem? When Abel got a hold of what was for his personal redemption, he was redeemed. So Cain hated it. The evil deed was a righteous deed, so to speak, a nice deed. A self-righteous deed, I beg your pardon, I'll correct it. Was in the Bible. Yes. Let's see nice people. They're all around the world. Given it shall be given you. Okay, I'll give, give, give. What about your family? Why, it says he that doesn't support his family is worse than infidel. So what if you give all your money away and your family goes without shoes? Ha, you showed what you are. Don't come around here trying to tell me that the word of God's all cooped up. You're cooped up. Where does this church pull and pull for money and say do this and do that?
Amen.
See? What does the church put you in bondage? First man raised his head. Just tell me why I've ever put you in bondage to anything but lead you to this word here. Where have you given me? Or anything else? I'm not trying to make you ashamed or anything. I'm trying to tell you something here, brother, sister. People today just don't know anything anymore. Unless there's something where the Holy Ghost is leading and helping us, we never get off this ground. That doesn't everything go. Nothing, not everything doesn't go around here. And it's not going to go around here either. That's why these messages are coming up. We're not halfway finished yet. I don't get this through this sermon. Should let you go, but what's the difference? I'll let you go or not? Might as well let you go. You listening? I don't know what you're doing. Listen if you like. I hope you do listen. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. How do you know you love them? How do you know you love them? How much love have men got for their own wives? Well, that's the type of Christ too. How much is real love there? How much love has the woman got? Well, it all depends on your experience. What's your real marriage is? If you got a marriage ordained to God, man's got no trouble, woman's got no trouble. Well, they got a little difference between them. But there's no big thing there. How do you know you got the right one? Have you prayed about it? Oh, see, I love her. Why? Because she's cute. Oh, sure, she's cute. Let me tell you a little joke about cuteness. Because I like my little jokes, because they're very, very, very good. There was this little cartoon in the paper, and the GIs were over on this foreign island, and a woman went by, and she was anything but a picture of desirability. And you can figure what I'm saying. And the one GI said, the GI, he said, hey, he said, do you think we've been here too long, or does she look beautiful to you too? Okay, come on, man. Are you so anxious that you can't find out from God who you're supposed to marry? You women the same way? Let me tell you something, you don't have a marriage. Oh, you might get by and everything else, but you don't have a marriage in the sight of God. You say, well, what about our children? They're legitimate. Don't worry about them. That illegitimate children would take two married couples, of both which remain married and will stay married, who get together and bring forth a child. It's only truly legitimate. Find out what the prophet said. You'll know things. I just want to bring this in. What's love? See? He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. In other words, he that is not inured and deep in this word to understand and know the courses of action and delights in them, and with joy anticipates and fulfills, because it's as Brother Branham said, the brook that is springing up. The fountain springing up, the babbling brook. Well, he said, the man hasn't got it. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Now, we're talking about the word. See? And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. How can a man say that he's got eternal life and be off the word? How can he have love and be off the word? How can he have God and be off the word? The whole thing lies in what is that word. And you've got it all. See? Now there's checks with it. But that's all right, we're getting someplace. Now, two seeds have to go two different routes. They're both predestinated. That is axiomatic. All right. Listen to 1 John 3:11 again. We go back in here. This is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. All right? Now we can't dare read that alone. There's no way we can read that verse alone, because we've got to go to 1 John 2:3-7 to read it, the way it's written. All right? Verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. See? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, that is his authoritative prescription, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, to keep means to change. Like you're kept by the power of God through faith. The evil are kept in store. We're kept. You've been given a sacred charge as a sacred vessel of the word. Don't change it. Now, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, brought to this conclusion, polished off, finished. In other words, we're talking about a perfect word bringing forth a love which in turn needs a perfecting, wherein the word of God does not need a perfecting because it is perfect. So you're learning how to handle the word, live with the word, apply the word, all these things. And it's not grievous. Everybody gets nervous over that. I do too. That's so much wrong teaching. So much lousy, rotten teaching.
school and politics and God knows what, that you talk about a battle. We've got a battle, but let's keep moving. Now, he that saith he abided him ought himself also to so walk even as he walked. So how do you walk? What's the word? Brethren, now watch. I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandment. I don't write any new prescriptions, authoritative prescriptions. I am simply giving you the old authoritative prescription, which you had from the beginning. The old prescription is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Now, just a minute. The message we heard from the beginning is the word. God is the word. The message we heard is love. God is love. John says, I'm telling you something that is unchanging. Don't mix these things up. Don't try to get one thing from one source, another from another source. If I have got to get my rebirth, spirit given by the word of Almighty God, let's go straight to Logos on that one. Then the same with love.
Amen.
See? Now this is why the church is so messed up. It's my understanding anyway. Okay. 1 John 2. Now I've got to get verse 7. Yeah. I read verse 7. Now, verse 8. Again, a new prescription I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. What's he telling you? He's not telling you anything different from that 8, that verse. There never has been any way but God's way of doing it, which is by the word. Now you've got the vindication right here that this word is light, is illumination. That's what it's all about. There's no change. And that light absolutely is shining in you now. And that word which was once there, say encapsulated apart from you, has now been encapsulated in you. Now watch what happens. He that saith he's in light and hates his brothers in darkness. Now come on, don't you see what I've been saying all along? Look, word. You cannot separate it from love. Word revealed, light. You cannot separate it from love. You do not know what love is. You do not know how to manifest it or to get out of the way. There's nothing you know. And I know in this hour, unless it's the word of God revealed, then when you have that, you are in a position whereby Brother Branham said, you become a living, moving idol unto God. Then watch where your faith is. Watch where your virtue is. Watch where your temperance is. Watch where your knowledge is. Watch where your brotherly kindness is. Watch the whole thing, because you're getting right back to headstone of this hour, of this tremendous bride, that she herself becomes a living, walking idol unto Almighty God. And he used the term idol because people used to bow down to idols and think the spirit of the God would come into the idol. Then the idol began to do things. Right all over the country, you've got idols of Mary and everything else. And what are they doing? They're weeping tears. And some are blood. Exactly. God is letting the world know what's going on. Well, those idols aren't doing a thing. God lets spirits come in and manifest strange things. Why? Letting you know this is the hour of sorrows. This is the hour of the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This is the hour of the blood. They've turned it down flat. Now it's the world's turn. Remember, Moses smote the rock twice. And let me tell you, water came forth both times. The same Christ smitten and turned down in America here. They came in the Holy Spirit, word revealed, is bringing forth the water and the blood again, brother, sister, but only to a bride. And it's manifested right in idols, every place else. But the bride will be the living idol unto God. I believe what the prophet said. You say, Lee Bailey, have you got it? You bet I got it in part. You bet. I'm banking on it. So I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. I'm not looking for something man's got. All right, now, he said there in that 8th verse, a new commandment I give, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Now he said, you got an old commandment. God always by the word. It's the same thing now, God by the word, and he's done it in the person of Jesus Christ, now dispensing the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to the 11th, the 1st John, the 2nd chapter, 11th verse. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now listen, you've got two things you're working with. Light, darkness, love, hate. Now where are you at? Now where are you at? Then how much light have you got apart from him? Outside the revealed word. How much love have you got outside a revealed word? How much have you got anything outside of a rebirth? Now it's adding up. Now, they hated Brother Branham. They said he doesn't have any love. But love's corrected. The word is corrected. Now you get into God, there's no need for correction. Perfect virtue is by the Jesus Christ. You begin staying with that word, you watch how it begins to move. See? Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand these things because I know they're into the realm of the non-scientific, the non-immediate application, so that you say, hey, I planted a seed, zap, here's my apple. Look, that's Hindu mystic junk. That ain't Bible. Again, 7:8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old command. Yeah, in the beginning. The old commandment, which is the word which you heard in the beginning. All right, there it is. There was nothing but word in the beginning. In the beginning was the word. The word is God. The word was God. All things made by him. Now he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Something new. Oh, come on. You don't change an old commandment, a new commandment. All you come into is the understanding of the old is now new to you. The very one that said it all, that is all, is now in you. Born again. Word is in you. Love is in you. All in you. If you're born again. Now, how in the world are you going to hate your brother? Well, who's your brother? Jesus. How are you going to hate him that's the word? But I'm going to ask you one thing. How are you going to love that which is off the word? Now, there's a different thing there entirely. Now, you won't kill him, but he'll kill you. Proving he's not word. The minute he comes against truth, proves he is not word. See? Now, with that 3:11, this is the message you heard in the beginning, that you should love one another. What's the message in the beginning? The message from the beginning in this is here. That one that came in flesh is Elohim, God, Messiah, everything poured into human flesh. There he is. Now he died and shed forth his spirit. And we're letting you know this thing. That God gives you of his life now and puts you in perfect alignment and agreement so that now you are one with him. Now, how do you know you're one with him? Because you don't turn down the word. And when you don't turn down that word and you're born again, you watch how that life begins. Light, love, the whole thing begins to come. See, there's got to be a seed. There's got to be something there. Okay, we turn to John 15:27 at the same time with this. Okay. You also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. All right, now what beginning is that? Now listen, you could put two beginnings, but you better not. Because you can't take them back to the beginning when they were in the Logos back there because they don't know a thing about it. They were with him in the beginning of his ministry. When he began to prove exactly who he was, how he was, and why he was. They were with it. When the word was made manifest in flesh, they were there and they saw it. Now they're full of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, if he hadn't been full of the Holy Ghost, would not have recognized Messiah. And it took the Holy Ghost from before John was born. Which means his human mind had to have a super mind over it, or the mind would not have got it. That's why you and I got to be born again before any of the things of God. Understand God here or anything else. But now we're born again. That makes a difference. Now the new commandment. Nothing to it. Same old commandment. But it's in flesh now. It's in you. You're in light. You're not in darkness. You're in love. You're not in hate. But I'm going to tell you, they are in darkness. They are going to hate you. You are going to stay with the word, and they're not going to like it. And remember, it's because of what you say, not what you do. Oh, yeah, they'll try to pin everything on you don't do. Yep. Oh, yeah, they did disciples. They said, well, they've taken his body, eat little strips, he said. Eat my body, drink my blood. So they do that now. Then they eat each other, and that runs out. They're cannibals. They're crazy. But Jesus said, you hate me without a cause. Why, he said, what good work do you hate me for? They said, we don't hate your works, it's what you said. Who you said you were. Why do you think people don't like us? Because we say, I'm my Father's one. They say, you dirty dog, we're 10 times better than you. I said, didn't say you were better. We're better. As far as the flesh is concerned, 1,000,000 times better. What was so pretty about Jesus? Said he, nobody loved him because he wasn't anything to look at. And the bride ain't nothing to look at either. So what's all this sex queen crap going around the world? Pardon the expression, I said that on purpose. I don't think I didn't. Let's go back to John 15. When I say a thing, I mean it, especially under certain conditions. John 15, 27, based on John 15, 7 to 14. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Everybody likes that promise right there, but they don't like the rest of it. Here's my Father glorified, you bear much fruit, you be my disciples. So the Father loved me, so I've loved you, continue in my love. Now if you keep my my authoritative prescription, you keep my sermonizing, my words, my delineation, what I've set forth in my own method of exegesis, thoroughly declared, you'll abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. He was perfectly satisfied with the prescription that God gave him. You can't keep this place any longer. You got to come down and be made flesh. You got to humble yourself and make the death of a man. He said, this is what the word says about you. Now, what does the word say about us? It doesn't say that. The prescription says you got to be born again. Prescription tells you what word it is. Prescription says exactly how it's ministered and how it's going to happen to you. It tells you the reaction. You know, the doctor wasn't very smart with old Norman. He gave him all those pills. It almost killed him. I got a smarter friend. I got some pills for my arthritis. I haven't used them yet. May never use them. Sent me a big list like this on both sides. Very fine print what it might do and might not do. The Bible tells you right here. You walk in this word. You get this word. You're going to walk in love. You're going to walk in light. It doesn't say maybe guess the hope. So it says you are. There's no two ways about it. You are. You are the children of light. You are children of God. You do love. It's this and that. He said, well, just a minute. No, no, now hold it. See, Brother Branham, look, if you love them women, you wouldn't be bawling them out. He said, I do love them. That's why I bawled them out. How can the Spirit of God not rise up against the thing the Spirit of God condemns? How can the Spirit of God and the Word of God not agree with the very things that God said? One side of the ledger or the other. I want to know those things. Let's keep reading. Why, he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Well, how are you going to have full joy outside of the Word that brings all these things that you and I want, and we feel condemned about as though we don't have them, when we really got them? And it's the devil's job to say, hey, you ain't got it. You say, why? Because he's the accuser. All right, this is my divine prescription, my authoritative, that you love one another as I've loved you. I said, there it is. Now I said, greater love of no man, this man lay down his life for friends. He said, I've done it. I said, you're my friends if you do, if you follow my divine authoritative word. Now let's understand some things here, brother, sister. Some of this divine authoritative word you can no more follow than nothing. Because how are you going to born yourself again? How are you going to grant yourself repentance? How are you going to give yourself faith when it takes God to do it? How are you going to put yourself in the Lamb's Book of Life when that was there before you were even a speck? How are you going to do it? You believe. So you believe everything. And when an action is required, it'll be with this word, that's love. We'll get to that. Just want to get ahead so nobody gets dismayed here. You know, think the thing is wrong. It isn't wrong. We're just trying to get the whole thing together. All right. Let's go to John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. All right. What's he talking about? He's talking about that. All right. Let's go back to 1 John, the third chapter. This is the message. You're in the beginning. We should love one another. But not Cain. He couldn't do it. Why? Well, he was just a brother in the flesh. Full of evil deeds. Unrighteous worship. After his own understanding. No revelation. So he killed Abel. He hated him. Then where was Cain? He wasn't any brother in the church. He was a brother in the world. Community brother. You find where God, where Jesus said, you are my friends. And the word friend is the friend of the bosom. Remember Brother Brand said, my bosom friends, called certain ones a bosom pal. That lets you know something, doesn't it? Alright, alright. Love and the word are united in an irrevocable and demanded union. This union is one demanded of God, and God has done it. Now, I said it's demanded of God, so God did it. You say, where did he get that stuff? Very, very simple. Brother Branham said, the Bible said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He said, God demands it, so therefore God's got to make a way for it. So God demands love. He demands anything. He's got to make a way for it.
Amen.
So don't tell me he hasn't. It's his word. And you stay with that word, it'll produce it. See, don't be fearful of it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of things Brother Branham said scared the pants right off me. And I'd hear people talk those things like, well, you know, water running off a duck's back, can't find out. It was just like dry peas on a dry cowhide. Some kid rat-a-tatting on a drum, can't even beat time. I've seen where it went. I'm glad I was scared. I'm glad I couldn't look, because I knew that my thinking would condemn me. How can you have condemnation when God doesn't condemn? See? How can you look in that word under revelation and see anything but Christ? And you're standing there, you're looking. And it's not your image, it's His. See, humanity has been so messed up off this word. And say, God, do this, God. I say, God, quicken your word in me. That's all I want. Then I can take the skin hacked off me. Shed my blood, admit to anything. But if I got to fight this thing myself, forget it. I'm going to fight. I can't fight nothing. I'm not Jesus Christ. Let's get this flat, neither you. Everybody wants to believe he's Jesus Christ. Go ahead, be Jesus Christ. Fat, you're so sick, it's pitiful. Ain't even fit for hellfire. Just to stick around and be this way for billions and billions of years. See, that's idolatry. That's pride. That's filth. Person better admit, he ain't nothing without him. Lost sheep gone astray. I'm going to tell you, a sheep gone astray is as rotten as a wolf gone astray. Ain't no difference. Ain't no difference. But the blood cannot bring back the wolf, but the blood will bring back the sheep. The baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is liquid life word, poured into that man is going to get somewhere. God demands this love of us. It's there. It's there. See, people all the time think, I can reach out and get it. No, it's here, but it depends on this revealed word. Now, let's keep moving.
Amen.
So, let's watch. Let's watch love as love per se, as God who is love stands by and watches the word, which is also God. That's some tongue twister, right? It should be marvelous. Some of Brother Branham's thoughts he brought up, but this is just about as tongue twisting as his is. Not that I'm as good as Brother Branham, no way, shape, and form, but let's get this. So let's watch love as love is per se, and remember, or God who is love, stands by and watches the word, which is also God. You say, that's kind of strange. Well, it's very strange. I admit it. I got no apologies. That's the best I could put it. All right, listen. Now, in building the virtue, building this monument, building this statue, see, it started off in the foundations on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what does it do? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love, and He controls, and He is the strength of every one of these things. Yes, sir. Right in here. right in here. So I go in between all these works in here. He's pointing to his board, no doubt. And these here little waves come along. See, little down from the capstone. I showed you that. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap off. What's it been doing again? It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church messengers. It started back here. Where was the church founded? The first Pentecostal church by Paul of Ephesus, star of the Ephesian church age Ephesus. The second church was Smyrna, virtue. Irenaeus, the great man who held the gospel next to Paul. Next church age, Pergamos. Martin was the great man who stayed. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, then Thyatira, come Columba. Remember here, drew right out here. Columba. After Columba, the dark ages came. There was Sardis. That means death. Luther. Hallelujah. What then? After Sardis, Luther, then comes Philadelphia, godliness, Wesleyans, holiness. Just live by faith, said Lutheran, sanctification through Wesley. Then come brotherly kindness through the Laodicea. We believe the great message of the second appearing of Elijah in the last days will sweep the land. Now notice he said that. Here you are. Seven church ages, seven steps. God building his church is like one person into an individual, into himself. The glory, the power of God coming down through this, welding us together. Therefore, the Pentecostal people has let out the... Lutherans, let out the Westerns and things, doesn't know what they're talking about. See, the Pentecostals preach and Westerns and Lutherans don't know what they're saying. You see, they lived in this part of the temple, just down below. That's the way some people can come up that high and then drop off. There's a genuine part of that. Keep making that building. Come on, I'll restore, saith the Lord. You remember the bride tree? You remember the sermon on the bride tree? They eat it down. They pruned it. It got denominational branches. He pruned them off. They raised up another church, denominational branch, they pruned them off. The heart of that tree kept growing, the evening time it shall be light. That's when comes the Holy Spirit. Not before, at evening time. Jesus comes down, didn't say he did before, sets himself head of the church, then he'll resurrect the church being his body. Now that's not the physical. That's not the physical. Then they try to tell he hasn't come. Then they say, well, leave your spiritualized. I ain't spiritualizing nothing, I'm telling you the truth. They're the ones that are out on a limb somewhere. If that doesn't mean this, tell me what it means. Then I've got a man that'll tell me what William Branham meant, because William Branham didn't know what he meant. Then God didn't know what he meant. So what do we do? Well, I would suggest we blow our brains out. I think Jimmy Jones was right. Everybody drink it all at one time, let's go. What's the use? Ain't nothing out there anyway. Because there's nothing here. We missed it here. What's there? Let's get rid of it. So look, I'll tell you flat, brother. There's here, look at, with this message, you're driven right to one place. This is it or forget it.
Right.
Now people don't want that. See, they don't want that. They don't want to get where the apostles were. What do you think Paul said? He said, if there is no resurrection, he said, forget it. This is the hour of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, forget it. We've been sold a bill of goods. Now who's going to raise the dead? God. Now, raise the church being his own body. He resurrected. Now there's the body, and the way God is expecting us as individuals to grow. Brought his church to grow every age. It becomes one big church. See, these fellows were not required what these fellows were. That's down below. They're not required up for up here. This wasn't required, and this wasn't. But this was. See? He brought up his church the same way. He brought his church up the same way he's bringing his people up. Then Peter says here first, see seven things. Faith, virtue, see coming up. Knowledge, temperance, patience, God, and brotherly kindness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Then the love of God, the Holy Ghost. Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost comes upon you in true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've got all those virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, living tabernacle of the living God, of the living God's dwelling place. Now he tells you right there, everybody that's born again with those virtues in them, you will come to the place where the Holy Spirit can absolutely dominate your life, which will be in his understanding a true immersion, a true capping off, and you're walking absolutely in the Spirit of God. He said the church does the same thing. Now, most people never get to that place, but the church will get to that place. When a man possesses these kind of things, the Holy Ghost comes upon him. No matter, you might speak with tongues, you might impersonate any gift that God's got, you might do that, but until these virtues here go into you, you're still off the real foundation of faith. Then when these virtues grow in, you added that to that, you're a living monument, you're a living moving idol. You know the heathens prostrate themselves before an idol, imaginary God, an imaginary way. They believe imaginary God speak back, then that's heathenism. That's Romanism. They bow before all kinds of saints, everything else. They like saints to see the house of God. They have so many different things like that. They bow to that and actually believe that's an imaginary way. What a type it is of the living true God. But when we, not in an imaginary way, but prostrate ourselves before a living God, a living virtue, a living knowledge, a living patience, a living godness, a living power, coming by the living God, making a living man, a living image, the stature of God. Now, you don't have them without God, because they're born in you. So therefore, when you start off born again, there comes a time when the Holy Spirit actually can take a person's life over. And the church is doing it, coming to the place right today. Now, we look for the individual too. What's he doing? The same thing that Jesus did, walking the same way he walked, doing the same things he did, because it's not an imaginary thing. There's a reality that proves it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. William Branham could also have been talking about himself, because no man outside of William Branham could have that ministry, no man living. No man living. He had to be so dominated by the Holy Ghost that he never used a gift outside his permission. He didn't do anything outside his permission. Now, I'm not saying that you and I can come to that level. But there's a place where we can come up into a level we've never been before, and the church is going to get there. See what I mean? See how these virtues, these building materials typed in the church messenger and with the church age. Now he goes to church messenger showing that he's talking about himself, but he's also spreading it out here. Remember, Brother Brown was put in a tube. Did any of you boys ever have a cigarette literally snatched out of your mouth or something happened you couldn't smoke? I took my first puff. It was my last puff. I said, fat, forget it. I got to have that kind of jump to make people happy and me happy, forget it. Same with beer. But it didn't work that way with chocolate bars. I wish it had. I had to pray about those. Sometimes I got to pray again. It won't hurt me. Now, one of these days, we're going to take work on that. He said, now, this is the house that God dwells in, not a building with a big bell on top, a high steeple. A body has to be prepared for me. A body God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in, amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you, glory. The steps of the righteous man ordered to the Lord. So that's what we said a while ago, that word right there. The Holy Spirit and the Word are one. Nobody needs to say, well, hey, I'm destined to make mistakes. We're destined to have troubles, and God corrected by the Word, because there's none of us perfect Word. But the perfect Word is in us to help us, and as we open our hearts and minds, you can see you can walk in the light. And if the life of Christ that's in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Always I've said, take the sap out of a peach tree, transfer it into an apple tree, the apple tree would bear peaches, because it wouldn't be an apple tree anymore. Certainly sure. And no matter what the branches look like, it's got apple sap in it. See? Whatever the tree is. Take the life out of the apple tree, take it out, give it a sap transfusion, drain from the apple tree over a peach tree and over an apple tree, what happens? It won't bear peaches anymore, no sir. If the peach life comes into the apple tree, it won't bear apples. It'll bear peaches because it's got the life in it. When you take us, there's nothing but a wild gourd, a knot head, and there's nothing to us. Knot heads, very polite. I call them manure heads. For all dead in sin and trespasses, we're all in those conditions, all kind of conditions, then we ourselves can prostrate ourselves, give ourselves up until God takes his transfusion tube, the name of Jesus, because no other name under heaven can be saved thereby. Transfer the life of Christ in me. Then we have this kind of faith, the faith that Christ had. Christ's faith was not based on in those Pharisees, Sadducees, pots, pans, washings, kettles, based on the Word of God, amen, so much until Christ was the Word. The Word was made flesh. How do we become the Word? Same way. Get the transfusion. Don't go back to the old things, you know. Stay with this Word here. The more you stay, the more you're going to become Word. Of course, he didn't become Word simply on the ground of trying to get somewhere. He was the Word. You know, there's a difference, but get what he's saying. And then when we get so transfused by his power that we die to our own thinking, you can. And our faith becomes a genuine faith. Hallelujah. Then the life of Christ is transfused into us, and we become living creatures of God. That's exactly right. In other words, it's not the fact that you and I weren't, already on the road. It's where you're going, as far as I can see what he's saying here. you want God to take over? And Jesus said, is not it written, you condemn me, saying I'm the Son of God? Isn't it written, you are gods? Doesn't your own law say that? Like Moses, like Elijah, like those prophets? Who lived so close to God that God just transferred himself unto them, into them. They spoke not themselves but God. Now he's talking about prophets there again now. Now notice he goes back and forth church to the last church age messenger and back and forth to us. See? It's all in here. Now, take no thought what you should say because it's not you that speaks. It's the Father dwells in you. He does the speaking. His word is not his own because his life, that life is gone, is dead. If you die, you take the blood out of a man, you embalm him. Trouble of it is, a lot of them never get embalmed. You take the blood of the man, he's gone. Then the only thing you do is put another blood back in him. If he's going to live again, you took the blood out. Now you put the blood of Jesus Christ in. That brings faith of Jesus, virtue of Jesus, knowledge of Jesus, temperance of Jesus, patience of Jesus, kindness of Jesus, brotherly kindness of Jesus, and the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head that controls you. You are the feet. You and your feet are the foundations, faith, amen, controlled by the head. There you are. Now what about that? If you get the blood, what have you got in the blood? God is light. Now you want a Holy Ghost light? you want God controlling? You got those virtues in there are released, they're recognized, they're one with the Word. Can't be something phony. And then you're gonna have that whole life of God in there. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Then God representing his church and a bride as a woman. God represents his church as a bride. The way he brings each individual to being his son, to win that bride, he also brought the bride through the ages. Now what are we coming to? Coming to a perfectly controlled bride, like I mentioned. My feet move. Why? Because my head says so. Now it can't move like my hand because it's my feet. Luther can't do things like we did. Now he's right back, not to the individual, right back to the church. So they see the feet move because the head says so. The head never says, now feet you become hands, ear you become eyes. But each age God has placed these things in the church, patterned it by showing that each individual has these and possesses these qualities. And this being, when it's completed, is the church of God that's going in a rapture. And this being, when completed, is a servant of God in the church of God that's going in the rapture. And see what I mean? There you are. Now what's he talking about there? And this being, when completed, is a servant of God in the church of God. What do you got to be talking about himself, the last one? And he talks about us, following the pattern, the whole church. Absolutely, said the bride will have the word and never say one thing till it knows what to do with the word. See, there you are. There's the full thing. Here came a man, Paul, laying a foundation. The rains began to pour this on. Next one poured this. Next one poured this. That down to came the last age. What is it? Same spirit. All right. Now, when it comes to the place, the spirit's poured in. No more spirit left, right? So you got it all. Same Spirit dwelt in me, says, hands reach that cake. The Spirit says, feet make a step. See what I mean? Luther made his, they made theirs, down, 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 up to where we are. All right, then the whole stature of your being is governed and controlled by these things, but it cannot be completely controlled to completely possess these qualities. Well, does her bride possess them or not? She certainly does. See? Now, do you hear this? Now, let me tell you this. And put up a listening ear. A chain is the strongest at its weakest link. Is that right? It is no strong as its weakest link. No matter how strong these are built up, this built up, that weak link, that's where she breaks. It's no stronger than the weakest link. Now, if you say, I got this, and but not that, there's where she breaks. She'll break right there. You got this, that's where she'll break. You don't have it. Now, people say, well, all right, we don't have this. We don't have the caps. Where are you going to break? How's the church going to go? You don't have the perfect word of God. How's she going to go? See? What I'm trying to do is bring us to the place of an understanding where we got this. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start with this revelation. And without this revelation, I don't care what you and I think we got. We might not have it, or we have it and don't know it. Or we might prostitute it. Now, Brother Branham made a statement concerning ministers and gifts and things. Why, he said, a man full of the genuine Holy Spirit of God with a genuine gift can be used of the devil. Well, how would that man be used of the devil? It's because he'd have to be somewhere that line of the word is not lining up. Somewhere he's off a revelation. All right. Now, remember, he's talking about that one that comes, the Christ, the head of the church. Now, Brother Branham categorically says over here, now after his death, resurrection, a burial, ascension, coming the Holy Spirit, Paul was on the road to Damascus, struck down by the Logos, pillar of fire. With all reverence and love, respect to Jesus Christ, in his day and forever, and also in last days, it was before lost time, or lost time of Sodom, it'll be in the day when the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now, in the last days, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that back to the pillar of fire again, has descended down on the earth. Well, there he is. See, right back down. Okay. Now, let's go over here. In 1 Corinthians 13, hate to keep you like this, but I'm sorry about that. We're just stuck for the time. You're stuck, we're stuck. I want to get finished. When I get to the end, I get kind of nervous, but it's all right. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. It says in 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part should be done away. What's he said? All right, every age. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no more to get poured in. What was poured in? The whole antidote prescription, so everything is balanced off. Now, if we're back to perfect word, we're back to perfect love. perfect word, Logos, is here. Love is here. God is here. And God is here right now, love, watching God, Word, operate. God, Word, is watching love operate. In other words, God Himself is thoroughly responsible for everything that's going to go on in His name, or it's not His name. That's right. He's here adjudicating and saying, this is it, and that's not. Now, people don't want it. See, that's what the trouble is. All right. Revelation 8, 22, 18, 19. Add a word, take a word, tribulation. There it is. All right. We could read a fair amount of scripture here. And I'm going to let it ride right here to Wednesday night. And we'll continue. Now remember, we've come to the place where we understand absolutely that God is love, that God is the Word. The Word corrects, love corrects. That love is doing the will of God, the Word of God. Compassion is doing the Word of God. There is no such thing as the Word of God, as per se the true Word of God, outside of a thoroughly divine revelation. Now, when you have that, you're in the first time in a position, because love and Word goes together, and neither is separated from God, they are inseparable. So therefore, if you are going to walk in the light and not in darkness, going to have the Word and not anti-Word, have all of these things and a manifest love, you have got to have the revelation of this hour. It cannot be taken from and added to, and the revelation is here at this hour, because that which is perfect is come. That's enough. Just rise to our feet. No need to pray or anything on it.